Well, hey, Gundam Maniacs, welcome to the Gundam Explained Show Live. I'm your host, Adam Blue. Joining me as always, Steven of Midnight Hatter. Steven, what's up, man?
Not a lot. Having a good week so far. Feels like to me anyway. I mean, last night we had an awesome show with Gunpla Luke, which, you know, I love getting Gunpla guests on to talk because I always learn something. I don't know about you guys.
No, that's true. I think that's your specialty. I think that's what's cool about your channel, though, is because you're more unique, hobby focused. Like, it really lends well to having these Gunpla, you know, like the undergated guys, you know, from
yes.
before. They're all into that, the building. And then, Gunpla Luke, which, great conversation.
Yeah,
I did learn a lot. Like, it really made me even think as I was finishing up one of my kits here, like really thinking about how I'm, you know, putting it together, thinking about things. I even reached out to him, you know, because if you guys are interested, Gunpla Luke does like a subscription based sort of like a learning service or whatever. So I even reached out to him because I'm curious. I think, and let me know what you think. In my opinion, the first thing that I think I need to be able to get down if I ever want to really excel is perfectly removing nub marks. You know what I mean? Because I feel like whether you paint or not, that is always going to be there.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of like my rules of thumb is if I'm going to paint a kit, I always go to like sanding blocks, sandpaper, that sort of thing, because it's like I don't necessarily care how much I mar up the surface. Whereas if I'm not going to paint the kit, that's when I break out like the gun primer razor or, you know, an equivalent glass file, because those tend to remove the nub mark without leaving any kind of like scratches or anything.
And I like this from Ultronimus because I've sometimes thought this, but the nubs add character. And it's funny because there is sort of a interesting, like let's say you wanted to draw a caricature of a Gunpla, you would probably make sure you're adding little nub marks. You know what I mean? Like,
that's a good point.
Yeah, because there's something about that, even though, again, like when I'm wanting to build mine, I'm wanting it to be clean. And sometimes when I'm done, I'll notice some nub marks, but it's almost like that's not bad. I'm afraid if I mess with that, I'm going to make it worse. But I want to be in a place where it's like I know what to do where I'm not going to make it worse. But yeah, Gunpla Luke. Check it out. Check out Steven's stream from yesterday if you haven't. There's links in there for
later, after this.
Yeah, after this. Yeah, of course. Yeah. But no, cool. Good to see like Ultronimus. It's over here. Ultronimus and Jonatron. Oh, I just lost the window. And then Robert, of course. Yeah, good to see everybody. Zionic Shadow. Good to see you. Of course, Zionic Shadow of Sieg New York, sponsor of Gundam Explained. Proud to say that. I've added it in my Twitter and Instagram. And also, Art Rovo Gundam, which link in the description. You will see like the banners or that I have below. Like it will show, like it's showing Sieg New York right now. It will show Art Rovo Gundam. Link in the description where, like, yeah, if you use Gundam Explain 78 as the code, you get free shipping on two or more items. So keep that in mind. Speaking of Art Rovo Gundam, though, there's a kit both you and I got, we bought from there. Like because he posted on Instagram, hey, the Real Grade 2.0s are in.
Yeah, we snapped him up.
Yeah, and I can't wait to do a review on this thing. It's going to be hard to see because where my light is compared to the camera. I mean, look, I usually can be very critical of my builds. I felt like I did so good. I am so proud of myself. I cannot wait to do the review because with the Sinandri Stein, I was going back into learning how to like really nail down the top coat, you know, really thinking, okay, how much am I spraying? What is the distance? Let me remember and see what it looks like after just a few seconds of it settling so I can remember. And so then I was able to replicate that with this. And I did it like you recommended, where I actually took it apart, like certain pieces.
Yeah.
So I could really better work. Even the core fighter. I've got that all. And I used the sticky tack, like the blue.
Ooh, okay.
To cover, because there's certain areas that have like metallic stickers.
Right. You don't want those to get matte finished for sure.
Yeah, and so what was really cool, I don't know about you, but for the decals on the head. You know, it had like the real or upgraded versions.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I used those. I was like, that's a neat little, anyway, probably hard to see here, but when I, that's the one thing this falls off too easily. When I do the review, I'll be zooming in showing some detail.
Yeah. I do love how all the hard points on the kit are like hidden. Like you have to open a flap in order to get the, like there's so many cool features about that. Cause one of my big complaints about like the 30 minute missions kits, is that like I said, they look like Swiss cheese, you know, they're covered in holes because they need all of these pegs to be customizable. Now they have addressed that. Like you can buy an option parts set. That's just like filler pegs for the holes. But yeah, I mean, this real grade, there's even even just the high grade Gundam Mark II has like a little flap on the rear skirt, where the bazooka slots in, and then also has like a little peg that fits into the backpack for where you would, you know, the Titans version, obviously you wouldn't do it, but for the AU version, you have the mounting peg for the G Defensor to make it the Super Gundam. So, I mean, I love that sort of hiding hard points. And it's one of the reasons that I got into magnets, right? Is like, because I hate having exposed hard points.
You know, good point about that, because when I did the review of the Robot Spirits AUG Mark II, I didn't notice this with the Titans version. And it's not in the instructions of the AUG version, but the top of the backpack has a part that comes off with a peg. And
there you go.
And I didn't realize that first until after I made the video, because I was putting away I have the Verka Robot Spirits Mark II with the G Defensor. And I was putting it back. I was like, wait a minute, that's where that goes. And then Ian, our mod and supporter of the channel, then commented on Patreon, I think it was. And he's all like, hey, I think there's going to be a G Defensor option part set. And I'm like, oh, yeah, there has to be. That's exciting, actually.
Yeah. It's good stuff.
And shout out real quick to, speaking of sponsors, Lucas Garrett, he's a supporter. Hey. Yeah, good evening. Good to see you. Always contributing good stuff to the show. So I can't wait to hear what you have to say today.
Now, before we move on, I do have a question for you because, like, you know, I know how I feel about this. And, you know, in the past, I've said that, like, the high grade UC-88 version of the high grade Zeta, like, that is the definitive Zeta Gundam to me. Would you say that the real grade 2.0 is the definitive granddaddy Gundam?
Yes, and I'm going to talk more about it in my review, because what I want to do is I want to compare this with the first real grade and then the origin version.
Yeah,
because I feel like the origin is a good contender, because they're very similar in a lot of ways in terms of the more of the functioning detail, you know, where the detail that looks like it's part of a machine. My favorite thing about this real grade 2.0 is the shape of the head.
Yeah,
because I think there's...
slightly rounded.
Exactly. Which I was looking at the 3.0 master grade and I was like, something's off about this, and it's the head. It just drops down. And that's not bad, but I was like, you know, I do like the rounded look. It kind of evokes that anime style, you know. So
dude, I gotta send you that Gundam Front Tokyo high grade, like the
That's right. But I want to say remind me later, because I think I saw it on Amazon.
I'm pretty sure it's still in your Amazon cart.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because it wasn't that expensive, I don't think. I think it was like 40-something, which I think was...
That's reasonable, given that I think it's out of print now, so...
Yeah, no, I thought that was reasonable. Another thing real quick that's sort of unrelated, kind of, but hey, I collect things. This is a Zack Snyder Batfleck, Justice League Batfleck. This is a Mafex, or Mafex.
Okay.
You know, because I've been on my Batman arc lately, and this thing is just awesome. Just, it has the multiple heads of Ben Affleck. Just Mafex figures are probably, like, I would say they're better than SH Figure Arts. And it depends what you get. Like when they do realistic stuff, it's like the best action figure you can get. So
yeah,
I would love to see them do some Gundam. I mean, just. I think we've talked about this before, just like the idea of other companies lending their engineering to toy design and figure design. Yeah.
Shoot, yeah. Especially if like, you know, now that we've got a new director attached to the Gundam movie, like who better to do the realistic, like live action Gundam action figures than Mafex, right?
Yeah. You know what? Let's talk about that just for a second. I didn't plan to, but that was interesting news. Yeah, because that was Friday, right? And yeah, we had our show Thursday. It was Friday they announced it. And then I think, yeah, so basically, I never heard of this director before. So then I looked up what he did. Never heard of anything he did before. So I watched and I did the video. I think that was my video Monday where I watched Sweet Tooth, which I remember, and someone commented on this. I was thinking, oh, is that the, why am I drawing a blank on that? The Twisted Metal, Twisted Metal show. Sweet. But no, it's a comic, an adaptation. Yeah. Which is exactly
great comic, by the way. Like, I was a huge fan. I think Jeff Lemire, cool. I want to say.
I don't know, but I never heard of it. See, that's what's cool. When I hear people talk about comics and they knew comics, I always find that very cool. Just like when I talk to people that actually have read the Bible and they can tell me about the Bible, I'm like, oh, that's impressive. But no, people that have read comic books, and yeah, I'd never heard of that as a comic. And when I was watching a show, again, the things I brought up in that video was like the beginning has a narration of how the why the world is the way it is, just like the beginning of 0079. And then there's a disaster scene at the beginning. And then the way they filmed it, like inside the car, looking out the window, you see the helicopters, like it's like, okay, machinery, realism, like chaos, you know. Even the thumbnail is a pic from the episode of like all this chaos happening. And I just put some Zaku's, you know, flying by. So I got to say, I'm now looking forward to it more than I was before. Before, it was kind of skeptical, but.
Yeah, I mean, I'm cautiously optimistic. I think, like you said, it's no longer attached to Netflix. It's just Legendary.
Right. Yeah, which the weird thing about that is the guy did adaptations for Netflix.
Yeah.
So it's maybe through Netflix they met this guy. But it's just, it's a weird thing because it's all kind of related. But I think the big thing with Netflix, though, the only thing I really care about is that I think Netflix doesn't necessarily like to put their movies in theaters. And I would prefer to watch this in a theater.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's been a long time since I've had a blockbuster movie that really attracted me to a theater. Like, you know, if you think about the last few, you know, major movies that it's like, oh, I can't wait to see that in a theater. Most of them have been sequels, right? Like, it's like even exactly. The big blockbuster events of like this summer, it's like what you've got.
Deadpool, Alien, Romulus. It was all, yeah.
Joker 2, like it's all.
Yeah, yeah, there's something, even though Gundam exists, at least an adaptation of something into live action, you know, is really awesome. Mm-hmm. One thing I want to bring up real quick, because Ultronimus is saying, how does it rate against McFarlane Toys? I guess maybe talking about this Batflip. Because I'm one person that doesn't consider McFarlane Toys to be all that great. I feel like they're the Marvel Legends equivalent, really, you know, for adult collectors. And
yeah,
I have a couple McFarlane Toys. The things that don't make sense is like for the Batman, they give him a neck joint. It doesn't make sense. Batman wouldn't have a neck joint, you know, for like the old 89 or even Val Kilmer. So it comes down to a neck and it's like, no.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the things about, I think McFarlane statues are fantastic just because of the design of them. I think that McFarlane is an aesthetic company. They're not an engineering company. Whereas like SH Figure Arts and Mafex, like they're thinking poses first. They're thinking like, how can we hide pins? Whereas I think McFarlane, it's like, we're just going to, it's kind of like Hot Toys. You know how like Hot Toys basically,
they're not that great, but they look good. You know, it's a good point because with Todd McFarlane, I think one of the things that brought him to prominence was, did I just find a sticker that I lost? I might have just found a sticker. No, one of the things that brought him to prominence, I think, was Spider-Man originally, right? He kind of took that Spider-Man design and went crazy, like the webs everywhere, like everything was exaggerated, but like interesting. And then he kind of moved that over to Spawn. Like I had the Kickstarter Spawn figures, that 3-pack, because I thought that was great. But as toys or action figures, you're right, he does better statue stuff. But it's cool at least that there's the action figure stuff. I mean, no one else is doing DC stuff as good as him or accept, you know, like this, but I'm talking about in bulk, like where he has like every type of Batman that exists.
Right. Yeah. Cause DC doesn't have a line the way that Marvel Legends does. So.
Yeah. No. Yeah. And I got to shout this out. Lucas Garrett and Ultron is talking about Sonic 3. This is like my type of discussion.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait to take my daughter to see that.
Yeah, Keanu is going to be outstanding as Shadow the Hedgehog. Yeah, I can't believe they landed that. That is such a good idea for that kind of, the way he's going to talk and like that kind of just matches.
Can you just like not wait for him to go like chaos control?
Yeah. Well, what's also really cool is I have this feeling, and I could be wrong, just based on the trailers, that they're really not going to focus too much on human stuff. And it's really just going to be a bunch of like CGI Sonic and, you know, Shadow and making it like, because there's city scenes and there's a lot in Sonic Adventure, you know, that had like the city or the real world stuff. So I'm hoping they lean more into that and less with like the, you know, because wasn't there some weird wedding CIA plot in the second one, which it's interesting because it wasn't bad or offensive. It was just kind of like, okay.
Yeah. I mean, the human subplots that occur on like in the Sonic movies, they're not necessary, but I don't think that they necessarily add or take away. So.
Right. Yeah. That's what's so crazy. Cause for some, I'm such a huge Sonic fan, but I can easily be like, that's stupid. That's stupid. And it's like those Sonic movies are actually pretty good.
They're a lot of fun, honestly.
Yeah. And speaking of movies, because I feel like this topic's really, but Godzilla Minus One was back in theaters this weekend. So yeah. I went and saw that. And that reminds me.
It holds up, as it turns out.
really good movie. Like, to be honest, that is a movie that I will cry in. It's, you know, when it comes to like him realizing she's still alive, or, you know, that whole thing and the little girl. Anyway, I want to ask you and the chat something. This is a Godzilla Minus One figure from the line that I was talking about, that it's like those Bandai toys that are $25.
Yeah.
They're not too kiddy. And, but I was wondering, I feel like I could detail this. Like, I wonder if, would a matte coat be better for this? Because it kind of has that shiny look to it.
Yeah. You know,
or even like a wash on it, maybe a brown or black.
Yeah, see, like I have mixed opinions about that, because obviously being an aquatic creature and being scaly, like having a shine to him actually kind of makes sense. Okay. So I kind of think what you ought to do is take a page out of Dirty Diggler's book. Speaking of Zeke New York members, Dirty Diggler, one of the first builds I saw of his was that MS-09 Dom that was modeled after, I think it was Jordan 11s, maybe Jordan 4s. I forgot which shoe it was. But he had a combination of gloss coat and matte coat, depending on the material that the mobile suit was made out of. So like the fabric parts had matte coat, whereas the patent leather parts had like a gloss coat. And I think you could do some cool stuff with that, with a Godzilla figure.
Yeah, you know, and the other thing too is, and I shouldn't have done this, this actually goes against my point, is I found this $90 Godzilla Minus One high-end figure that is coming Saturday. And I want to kind of use that as a way to be like, okay, what are they doing to make this look good? Because I want, there's only three figures in this line so far, but I want to really collect them all because, and it's weird. It's not like I'm a Godzilla. I swear to God, I my past life was Japanese. It had to be. Video games, mainly Japanese video games I like. And then Godzilla I like, even though I can't even remember the old movies.
Well, and then you've been watching a lot of old martial arts movies now, too.
So yeah, exactly.
Granted, those are Chinese, but, you know.
But still, there's something. East Asian. You know, I'm, 39%? I'm going to butcher this. Ashkenazi Jew.
Okay.
So, and that is closer to the Eastern Europe, maybe close to Asia. So maybe there was some carryover. I don't know. I'm trying to figure out my genetics here. So let's see. There was this chat link to your Art Rovo Gundam discount. Gundam Explained. Oh, just when it pops up in the ad below. But Robert, that's, in the link. The link's in the description. So yeah. Thank you for calling that out. Okay. Let's see. Oh, Lucas Garrett saying, do it, Adam. Bring out the details with the scales. I hope they have fun with it. Thanks, man. Yeah, I'm looking forward to figuring that out. Okay. What were some other things I was going to bring up before moving on to the next subject? I think that's it. Yeah, again, I had the video earlier this week about the movie, and then the video of the Sinanju Stein that went up. That was fun. Thanks, Art Rofu Gundam. Okay. Okay, a couple things. Let's go to the screen share. Okay. So I'm sharing P-Bandai because I think there's some things that are going to go for sale soon, but I think these are the Gundam-based exclusives, right?
Yes. Yeah, okay. These were all available during the Gundam-based mobile tour, but I guess available is a subjective word since most of them were sold out by the time anybody got to the booth.
Well, does any of it stand out to you?
The Torahachi, you know? Like,
which one's that?
Well, so that was the last week's drop was the Torahachi's that 172 scale. I think it's 172. It's like the mobile worker.
Oh, that's right. So that's what it's called, a Torahachi?
Yeah. Did you miss it?
I must have missed it, but I think
it's the next page because So what I'm trying to fight the urge to buy is that they've got that 3-pack Grips War set that's got, you know, it's got the Zeta, the Hyakushiki, and Mark II.
Okay, let's look for that because that's right. I remember you mentioned that somewhere. I forgot where you mentioned that.
It's got to be around here somewhere because I see, there's the mobile Haro, which, that Haro is pretty sweet. Like, I like the one that's got arms and legs. But I know the Torahachi's in here somewhere.
Let's see.
Unless it really is sold out. It might be.
Oh, the Hobby Hijack. That could be one.
Hobby Hijack is back. That's good.
And okay. There we go. There we go. Okay, let me open that up because that's a neat, unique one, but still being UC.
Yeah.
So what's cool? Wow, I didn't realize. So because there's the figure stands for Requiem for Vengeance, which I think is awesome.
Yeah.
It's just to buy them all. Like in the Zabi family here, like I would want to buy all of these. That would be so expensive.
They're like, counting on it.
Yeah, they're counting on it. I like how you said that. I'm going to pull it up here.
Yeah. How do you guys feel about the acrylic standee set? Cause like, I feel like it's a very niche product to me.
Standard size and big size. I didn't realize there was multiple. Do they come together?
I think you choose one.
Let's see. Well,
so standard size.
Yeah, standard size there. I don't know. The acrylic figures, like I like it to be part of my display, you know, because I've got my Zeta display, my 0079 display, and it would be cool to have those, but it's like it almost more taps into that addictive collection thing than do I really need it?
Yeah.
You know, even though kind of,
you know, what would be cool to do with them is to be like, this is personally what I would do is make like a shadow box where you take like the animation cell and put it behind the acrylic standee so that you get like the sense of depth.
That is a really good idea, actually. Okay, let's find this Grips War set. Say again.
On page one.
Page one?
Yeah, it was like the last row of page one. Somewhere, right? I could have sworn I saw it. I definitely saw like a 3-pack.
What was in it again?
So it's got the Hyakushiki, the 0088 Zeta, and the Mark II. And it's a special coding version Mark II as well.
Okay. Let me just type in Zeta here real quick and see what pops up.
There it is.
Okay, this. Only 100. the colors really pop. So what kind of coding is that?
So it's like a special coating color. So if you look at the Mark II, you can really see it like clearly. It's not quite white. It's got like kind of a silver sheen
Interesting.
to it.
Wow, I like the way that looks. And so if we look at the Zeta, I love because it makes the colors pop. And then Yakushiki, maybe that's just used to help it give a metallic look instead of like the yellow.
And I honestly like that better than the usual, like most of the high grade Hyakushikis are either yellow or they have like a chrome finish to
Exactly.
them. So I
Yeah,
mean,
that is a good middle ground.
dude, I'm fighting the urge to snap this up.
Yeah,
Now.
that's actually pretty good. And it comes with the stand. I'm assuming it does because it's in the picture and it's very unique. Like, that's a great piece.
Oh yeah.
Anyway, a couple other things I wanted to look at. So,
Oh, speaking of
okay.
special coatings.
Yeah, okay, this is another one like that. This isn't, I like that stand at first, but I'm like, yeah, that's not anything. Okay, this is interesting. This is a unicorn, but it's like minus one, minus color. You know, the gods, no, but because there's no color to it except for
Yeah.
the green, I guess. But what's the point? Painting model? Is it the idea that you would then paint it?
Yeah, so they've actually done this in the past, I want to say. I'm pretty sure that there was a Zaku painting model that,
Ah,
yeah.
okay. Let's see. Okay, this one.
Oh, that's not the Torohachi. That's a
Okay, let me see.
C.
Okay, Torahachi. I wouldn't even know how to
Or
spell
maybe
that.
it's Todohachi. I might be butchering the
Yeah, if you find it later, yeah, show me. Not it's not
Yeah,
oh,
not
it's Noble
urgent.
Worker. Is it from Unicorn or Char's Counterattack?
It's the one from Char's Counterattack, I want
Okay,
to
the Hathaway gets into.
say. Yep.
Okay, that is actually cool then, because I wouldn't get that any other way. Okay. What else? What was I looking at? Okay, this is cool. They have the other Zakus from Requiem for Vengeance. And so it has Lashan. And then it says unidentified type, which is that just like just the other version that's like all fixed up? They just don't really have a name for it.
I guess so, because
Okay.
it does look like the one that LaShawn was using after the
Right. So I wonder if they just don't, they haven't really given it an official name yet because it doesn't come out until March. So maybe there's going to be more lore, you know, coming out. And then along with that is Chubbs and Kale,
Solari
Solari
custom
custom
parts
parts
set.
set. Yeah. So, and here's the thing: I like these because these just remind me of like origin kits where they look like real grades, you know.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot to detail the panel lining. The other thing I wanted to talk about is I'm always looking at stands, right? And this is the stand I was complaining about because
Yeah.
it's like you can set it up once and it's fine, but if you try to move it around, like eventually something is going to snap here. And so when I looked at this, I'm like, that's not going to last long. And then like the weight distribution where it's like hanging off the base, like I wouldn't
Yeah.
even trust that.
No chance.
Because I have, it's like, I think three of these for the Nightingale, which makes sense. The Nightingale needs three. But then I have one for the Hainu, real grade. And that snapped. Just and that was just for me having it displayed. And then I went to go grab it to move it, and then the little piece snapped just by the weight over time.
And that's not even like exclusive to high weight kits, because I mean, even like, so, I've got the NX Edge Nightingale here that Xeonic Shadow sent me from Tamashii
Oh,
Nations.
yeah.
So I have the NX Edge Zeta as well, and moving that, the base snapped, and that's like, a little SD figure. That's not even.
It's weird, in my opinion, that I feel like the stands in general are cheap. So I have this one, which I love because that's the action-based one. That's the good one that's really supported.
Yeah.
But if you look at these little arms here that attached to the pieces, all of mine have broke at the parts where they articulate because
Yeah.
because they're, it's hard to explain, but the base, and then there's, yeah, one, two, there's the base that turns and then a hinge at the base. That's 2 points. And then there's two in the middle and then technically two at the top. So there's so many ways it can move that, like, you might be thinking you're moving one down, but it's really supposed to go to the side, and just barely moving it breaks it.
You know, I actually had that same issue with the Real Grade Zaku 2. When I was posing it up with the Real Grade 2.0 Gundam, like, the way that the joint goes into the waist, you know, I was trying to pose the leg, but the way that the, because it's like basically three peg joints, right? So like there's the peg joint that connects to the hip, there's a peg joint that rotates the leg, and then there's a peg joint that kind of puts it on that axis. And so if you try to pull this way, it feels natural, because if it were a ball joint, it would just roll that way. But yeah, you actually have to do a rotate and then pull. And so I did this, snapped the leg joint off. So
yeah, that's disappointing. yeah, I do feel like they cheap out on the stands, especially for how much they cost. So a lot of times I like to go to, I'll notice some places will have like the stands instead of the $10 or $11 price, it'll be like $7.99, because I think they're just, they're able to mark them down maybe because they have other stuff. I don't know.
Yeah.
But interesting. Yeah. Anyway. Oh, wait, that's pretty cool, because I was looking at this like, well, that's a picture of mine, because it comes blank and then you have to detail it. And so I did that where I put the black wash, or, you know, the ink. And then I went back with the silver and did all that. I love that. I love detailing. Like when I was working on this, and I really want to start getting to where I'm weathering more, because I do like it, but I don't like it all the time, because sometimes I like the straight kit, how it looks, especially in Gundam. Most times mobile suits are out for the first time and then they just get blown up. So they're usually pristine until they get blown up. But ground Gundams are probably the best example of having like a weather. It makes sense.
I mean, because how much weathering could possibly happen, you know, in space? I don't know.
Yeah.
I need to see some pictures of the exterior of like the ISS to get an idea of like.
That is a really good point. There's no other structure that we have orbiting Earth that may be the size of a satellite, but I don't know how big they get. But the ISS, that's interesting. Yeah, because a lot of times just thinking back to like some movies that try to be realistic, I think it was that Sandra Bullock one, where it usually things are just pristine, bright white.
And part of that, it's like, okay, so they just got lazy with the CGI. But I think that there's probably something to that, because what would the, like, if there's dust in space, what would it adhere to? It would just bounce off. Like, there's nothing to, so I don't know. Yeah. It's worth doing some research on.
I might, because I'm actually working on a video where I'm trying to figure out what would be the real, and someone actually suggested this in the Discord, the real colony drop impact, really happened. Because I'm getting like, you know, the size and the weight of a colony from Gundam, but then also understanding like atomic bomb blast versus what we know of like the Tunguska event, that asteroid or the meteor that came and blew up in the atmosphere. Like, would a colony really just break apart in the atmosphere? But I guess it depends how big it is, because those colonies are freaking big. I think we don't understand the scale, because when we see them in Gundam, we're seeing them like outside of.
Yeah, and it's all relative to the mobile suit. So you're talking about like a 20 meter tall robot as opposed to like people. You don't really see the scale of.
I think it was War in the Pocket, right? Where Al and Bernie are like going outside the colony and they have like the tether, right? To go across. Because that's like scary, but I love that stuff. Yeah. Because that's kind of showing that world building. All right, let me see what else I pulled up here.
Yeah, them great, man.
Yeah, I know. That's okay. Yeah, see, this is cool. Like, so I would think if I was to buy one, I would probably buy the Solari stand, just because there's not too much Wrecking for Vengeance stuff.
You're not in for like an entire cast. Like, as much as I love Zeta, I mean, to get the entire cast of Zeta as acrylic stands would be.
Can't just get one. When it comes to Zeta, everyone is awesome. You know, so with this, it's like there's not too much yet going on with Requiem for Vengeance. And you can just honestly,
get the Red Wolves.
I love that stuff. Like that, the lore of that. And also the look of the character has grown on me even more. Like I didn't hate it, but it wasn't stand out. But over time, like the red hair is a good contrast with the green and white. And I don't know if her eye color is blue, but it seems like her eyes are very, it's kind of hard to see on the screen actually, but her eyes really stand out. Anyway, cool character.
Yeah. I think what I really like about Solari is that she reminds me of the protagonist from the video game Transistor in a lot of ways, because both redheads, both women that lost their husbands, and both women that were in musical careers until, until tragedy struck them. And then, you know, obviously they took up arms. So I think maybe I'm wrong, but if I had a chance to ask Gavin Hignett, I would be like, did you ever play the video game Transistor? Cause I get,
no, that's cool. Yeah. Yeah. It's a cool design. I the red hair works. I think, and not just, yeah. And I wonder like when it came to like, you know, anime, you know, earlier anime, sometimes there's colors that didn't seem to make sense, but it's because it's more of the design choice to kind of make a character stand out. And so I think a lot of times red is used because like there's a lot of Gundam characters that have red hair, or not a lot, but there's a number of them.
Oh yeah.
But I think it always works because it's kind of a way to differentiate for a character to stand out, because there are people with red hair in this world. But it's usually not as like bright.
No, you know? Yeah. It's typically more of an orange tone, not like that blood red, which, you know, spoilers, obviously there's like that whole scene that, you know, evokes the red and her dress and everything. Just again, just powerful imagery that goes on in that show.
Oh yeah. I like that stuff too, because, you know, if you think back to it, that's like, oh, that's like new type visions, you know?
Yeah.
Cause there's Christina McKenzie,
right?
From War in the Pocket, that has red hair. Is it Bianca from Thunderbolt? Mm-hmm. Has red hair. Luna Maria Hawk.
I think
that's how you say her name.
In Seed.
Mm-hmm. Which, it's funny, I was scrolling Gundam stuff to buy and I saw like a statue of her. It's like, I don't need that, but for some reason this character is cool.
That Luna Maria Hawk statue, my YouTube feed is nothing but people customizing that figure, and I'm like,
No, it's cool. I think I want to get it because I built the Mjorne and Soleta figures and I enjoyed that. It's something about building, you know, an action figure. But okay. What are we going to move on to? Okay, there's this that I posted about Mobile Suit Gundam ALC Encounter anime announced, which pretty interesting, very, you know, provocative art here. And what's interesting is they're showing what I keep forgetting what they're called, the FF variants of the new in the Sazabi, which it's not necessarily in universe.
Yeah, but like there's the regular new in Zazabi there too, which is
That's right. Like, the regular new. So
interesting.
You know what? Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what this actually is about. Because I don't think there's many details. But I wonder if this is going to be like a Build Fighters type thing, or.
Well, this could be the animated version of the story of the FF units, right? Because like, they did come up with a backstory of like, oh, they recovered the new Gundam, but they didn't recover the fin funnels, and that's where this thing came from. And so, like, I don't remember. I do remember that there was a female Zazabi pilot, but I don't remember what she looked like in like the trailer animation.
Yeah, so you know what? To be honest, it would be really cool if this ends up being some canon story in UC, I think. And I wonder if it's going to be similar to like a Twilight Axis, where it's not super long, but it just kind of connects some story, you know?
I mean, I love the logo, just offhand.
Yeah, it's like different.
Yeah.
It's different. It kind of evokes like kind of the synth 80s, 90s thing. And
you know, that's my vibe.
The characters look like animated by Wing artists. Or,
it
you know what I mean?
Look like Relina with like an emo goth girlfriend.
Yeah. So, yeah, very interesting to see what happens with that. They're saying so far fans have been told Mobile Suit Gundam ALC Encounter is a Gundam no one has seen before. I mean, usually if something's not out yet, it's something you haven't seen before. So.
Well, and that's also a lie because I see that I've seen it. We have kits of those Gundams.
yeah. And so this is saying a voice draws two destined individuals together for a showdown, awakening 1/12 scale statues of the new Gundam Sazabi, leading to fierce battle inside the mall. So I wonder if it's like they're new types. And maybe because of the psycho frames that are in them, it's like drawing them in. That's actually a neat idea for a story. Because it kind of goes to what I was talking about, where if they made like a Fast and Furious style Gundam, where it doesn't have to be directly with some sort of conflict, but more of just how mobile suits are in the world outside of the conflict. And
I love that idea.
Yeah.
Think about family.
Yeah. Which they're all usually about family and they all die, you know, that's the sad thing. So the other thing, a couple things here. So I didn't know this, but Mobile Suit Gundam Seed Freedom Movie Special Edition Version 2. So Japan was having, I guess, more showings of Freedom. And one thing says there was more than 500 scenes added to it. And scenes could be maybe a couple frames of animation, but maybe it adds up to 500.
Yeah, interesting.
I don't see them going back and dubbing new stuff, you know, in English, because you know how it is.
Yeah, because I mean, just the work of like, okay, we need this 3 seconds of footage dubbed, and then we're going to like try and merge that with the existing audio tracks. Like it doesn't.
Yeah, and you know how it is when they try
the entire thing.
Yeah. Yeah, because you know how it is when they try to gather voice actors back, because, you know, it seems like these companies try to cheap out on paying voice actors or something. I don't know. But along with this, was it in here? Oh, yeah. So, and they also reported Mobile Suit Gundam Seed Freedom Zero that's in production. The project will serve as a sequel to the franchise's second TV series, Destiny.
Cool.
That's really cool.
Yeah, because I don't know about you, but did you feel like there was like a little bit too much of a time gap between Destiny and Freedom?
I don't think I paid attention enough. I guess more in the sense of what happened at the end of Destiny versus then where they were in Freedom.
What I mean. Is it's like it seemed like the status quo was completely different. And part of it's like, you know, going back to your criticisms of Seed, it's like with the character designs and the animation for those characters, it's like, how old are they supposed to be?
Yeah. Yeah. And so
Atherin could be like 60 and he's just Liam Neeson out here with
but I wonder, it just says it's a new project while below it talks about, you know, feature film sequel to, you know, something unrelated. So I just wonder if the wording means this project could just be a new series. That could be what they're like, okay, in 2 years, let's have this series, you know, to continue. I think would be neat. Like, you know, to be honest, I'm ready for a new Gundam show that is, 40 episodes?
Yeah. Because I think that we're overdue for like a legit run.
Yeah,
because IBO and Witch from Mercury, neither of them really had the staying power.
I need to finish IBO. I think I've been so busy with all this new stuff that's come out that I haven't been doing the reviews. I'm gonna get back to that, because then I was just thinking today I need to finish After War. I'm like near the end. It's one of those things where it's good, but it's not compelling. You know,
I mean, the best thing I can say about Gundam X is that it's like it's inoffensive. It reminds me a lot of Requiem for Vengeance in that it doesn't tread any new ground. It doesn't like bring anything new to the table, which isn't a bad thing. It just, you know.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's refreshing every once in a while. You know, I got to add. So I was talking to my dad earlier and I was telling him about Requiem for Vengeance, you know, and he knew about it and wanted to watch it. But he said just 10 minutes in, he could not stand the human the animations, and I get it.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I get it. It's like, I'm willing to look past it because I understand the world and the lore, but for people that don't know Gundam and they're seeing that, it's like, it's.
Yeah. I hope it didn't do more harm than good, to the Western perception of the Gundam franchise. So.
Yeah. And I don't know how we'll be able to tell, except that, you know, it was ranked number 7, which, to be honest, for a CGI show based on Gundam, I wasn't even expecting it to rank.
Yeah.
So, all right. And then something else real quick, because Art Rovo Gundam did a post about, yeah, partnering with Gundam Explained. So,
who's that guy?
Yeah, I know. No, so that's awesome. You know, just to talk about this again, this is helping my channel. So let's help him out. Again, if you guys need to buy some Gunpla, link in the description. And then also, collection. You know, shout out to Xionic Shadow and Zeke New York, because there's some stuff coming up from them as well. So that'll be cool. Okay. Well, we still have some time, but this last section, we're going to cover the test bit. What happens when I get too excited? Actually, you know, it's my wife's fault. Where is it? She gave me a Celsius. She's like, I shouldn't have this. It's late. And I was like, you're right. Go. And then,
ooh, what flavor was it?
Horrible flavor. It was, I can't stand artificial grape.
Oh yeah. No, can't do that.
Oh, you agree with me?
Yeah, no, I can't do artificial grape. So what I had today was one of these guys. It's a ghost. Oh,
I've had ghost before.
Yeah. The electric limeade.
Is that zero sugar?
Yeah. 10 calories, but.
Oh no, 10 calories is perfectly fine. Wow. Zero sugars. So yeah, there's something about artificial grape. It might've started when I was a kid, when you would have the chewable tablets of medicine and they were artificial grape. Yeah. And it'd be like, what? It's so weird. And then it's like, I love grape juice, but artificial grape? No. Okay. So 10 best fights in Gundam anime ranked. I haven't looked at this yet.
I can already tell it's going to be clickbait because it's on like a website.
Yeah. That's wow. Good point. Like when a website has to do this, you know that they're just trying to. Anyway, what I want to do is slowly go through, and then like we will rate out of 10 where we think it actually is, and we won't know what the next one is. We've done this before.
Yeah, this is a great game.
Okay. Let's see. We're scrolling. I don't want to go too far ahead. So many ads. Okay. Build Strike Verzaku. Amazing. First battle.
Okay. Well, now
I'm going to give it a 10 because I've never seen it.
I would give it a 7. I mean, and honestly, like, I know you haven't seen the build series yet. This is like only one of the like few episodes I watched, because I loved when the Zaku Amazing kit came out. I was like, ooh, I want to see what this is. And honestly, the way it moves, it's not quite the same, but it does evoke the same movement as like the Zaku surface types from Doan's Island. So cool. If you like that fight, I think that I think you'll enjoy this one. So,
you know what? I think you kind of cemented the reason why I need to go through the series, is because it's watching the fights.
Yeah. Screw the plot. That's not.
And you know, so many people swear by it, and you know what I mean? Like I don't ever, not that it's talked about a lot, but it's like, you never hear negative things.
Yeah.
At least I don't. And I'm on the internet. No. Okay. So there's that. Next, a Gundam Astray No Name versus Gundam 00. Again, this is going to be 9.
Another build, I haven't seen this one because I'm not a build divers guy.
That sounds
good. 9 too. Sounds, yeah.
Okay, let's see what's next. This better.
Are they all going to be build fights?
If they are, I'm quitting the internet. No. Okay, Gundam Double Riser versus Reborn's Gundam Final Battle.
Cool.
I mean, I think that's cool, but I'd give it an 8 because I'm waiting for the UC stuff to show up.
Yeah, I'm going to give it a 10 because I never finished 00.
You need to. You need to. It's good.
Tell you what we're going to do a stream is, I'm going to watch 00 and you're going to play Metal Gear Solid 5.
Okay, that is an excellent idea. Let's plan for that sometime where we just have a stream up, we're watching Gundam and playing Metal Gear Solid 5. That sounds badass.
What could go wrong?
I know. Okay, here we go. Wing Zero versus Epion.
Okay, where are you putting this one?
I'd give it a 7 just because I'm still waiting for UC stuff to show up. So,
you know what? Honestly, I'm going to give this a 3.
Oh, cool.
Even within Wing, it's not my favorite. It's not my favorite duel. I think that I preferred like the Tall Geese versus the Wing Gundam versus the Wing Zero versus Epion, but
okay. All right, let's see. Oh, Grassley House versus Earth House.
Again, not what I would pick for like
which for Mercury.
Yeah,
unless there's more, but I feel like we're getting near the end.
It feels like it, right?
6. They're on point so far.
Yeah, I'll give this one a 6 too.
Okay, let's scroll down some more. Okay. Psy Gundam versus Penelope Gundam or She Gundam. I know there's so many ways to say that. I would give this, knowing we're at 5, I'd give this a 3. Because okay. I love the way it looks, that battle. Yeah. Like the different things that are going on because they're in the atmosphere. You know, like there's that drop from the canister where he achieves it and then that whole thing going on. And then there's the guy inside, so he doesn't want to destroy the mobile suit.
Right.
So it added an element of just having to kind of battle, you know.
I do like when people do that.
Yeah, when you put other people's lives at risk.
Yeah, it's my favorite thing, actually. I would say with this either 5 or 8. I'm debating.
Oh, okay.
But that's just because those are the only slots I have right now.
Oh, okay. You're good at numbers because I don't even know. I'm
just shouting.
Okay. 4. Gundam Barbados versus the Hash Mall. So I haven't gotten to this yet, but I did this in SD Gundam Battle Alliance and thought that was pretty badass. I don't know. It's 5.
Yeah, I mean, I would give this an 8. Again, not my favorite. If I gave Kasai or Chi Gundam a 5, then I would give this the 8 because, okay. I mean, of all the fights in IBO, like...
That's not the coolest.
No, not by a long shot. Not to me, anyway.
And yeah, I'm 9 episodes in, and I think it was episode 7 or 8 where there was that badass battle where the Barbatos was first in space. And then he was, like, using the asteroid as momentum or whatever. I forgot what... Yeah, like... So I could only imagine what comes next. Okay. 3, Gundam EZ8 versus Goof Custom.
You knew it was going to be on the list.
Knowing that there's only 2 more, now I'm wondering if it's going to be like the best of the fights. I guess I'd give it I'd give it a 3.
I'm going to give it a 4 just because I think it's overrated. So if they rated a 3, then I'm going to rate it 1 lower.
Why do you think it's overrated? Just curious.
I think that it definitely is one of the cooler fights in UC animation, but I think that it gets overhyped because it's like, yeah, the Norris Packard scenes are pretty cool, but I don't know.
I kind of see what you're saying.
Credit.
I like the arm pulling off an attacking maneuver. You know, that happens.
Yeah, that is pretty cool.
Yeah. So, okay. Let's see. 2, GPO-1 versus GPO-2.
Okay.
Yeah, there's cool stuff there. You know, a lot of these too, that as we're getting it, especially you see, it's like the context of like what gets, and that's what I like about Gundam, like what gets them to the point where they're battling.
Yeah.
You know, hey, let's guess what number 1 is.
Ooh. Well, to me, it's got to be an Amuro and Char fight.
So it's probably going to be Char's counterattack.
I'm thinking it's either Char's counterattack or it's last shooting.
Okay, those two. Yeah, I'd see that. I'm gonna just throw out something random, the Kshatriya versus the Stark Jagan. And is that what it was, a Stark Jagan or just a Jagan? You know, at it the was beginning.
Stark Jagan. At the beginning of Unicorn. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, let's see. Oh. Okay.
You mean to tell me Amuro and Char didn't even place?
Okay. This is when we go to the comments and we let him know he's not a true fan.
No, he's not a true fan because he misspelled Shiro in Shiro Amada.
Oh, is that why you were looking at that? Let's see.
Yeah, I was like, what?
Yeah, Shiro? Look at that. Yeah. Who are you even? No, I'm joking. You know, to be honest, though, all those battles in Thunderbolt are kick ass. Like,
they are. Yeah.
Because they make them so visceral, you know?
Which is what, like, IBO is famous for, right? Like, having those kind of visceral.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where it's almost like humans are, like, constantly hurting each other. But yeah, let's give this guy credit. CM Edwards. Let's see. Any other cool? Oh, yeah. Gundam Best Pilots Ranked 3 days ago. We might have to look at that later.
There we go. Sweet.
Oh, that's cool. So
Hack and Slash Games. Okay, here we go. See, you know I'm a big Bleach fan, and the 13 Captains, like,
I don't even know. Yeah. But is it worth me getting into?
Not
I still have Zoids, Metal Gear Solid.
Your backlog of content is getting out of
control. Yeah. That's why I'm trying to be healthy and stay alive for longer, so I can take in all this anime.
Yeah.
This is cool. Gundam Strongest Gundam Mecha Ranked. I'm curious.
Yeah.
But Gundam Mecha. That doesn't sound right. It's almost like, you know what I mean? Would you ever say Gundam Mecha? Hey, guys, you want to check out my Gundam Mecha? Because either you know what Gundam is and you don't need to say Mecha, or you don't know what Gundam is and you don't need to say it if you're saying Mecha.
Well, it's keyword optimization. You know, you gotta hit all those.
That's right. You're the marketing guy. No, but that was pretty fun. I was going to say going through that stuff too, like, kind of reminds me of things I need to watch or finish, you know, because like after like I finished Requiem for Vengeance and I'm like, okay, what's some other TV shows I can watch and then that are not Gundam related. Then it's like, oh, there's like, we're saying so much content that I get to watch. So we're getting to the closing here. Thanks everyone in chat. Anything else to cover? Is there anything else coming up Gundam wise in November? There's October was all Gundam filled.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like October was like the last big hurrah for Gundam things. I hope that we get some more announcements about the Gundam card game. That's honestly what you and I need to get on before the end of the year. We need to get into Tabletop Simulator and figure out how to do that.
Because I've got it installed. I think you do too. And we messed with it for a little bit. We need to do that again. While we're playing Metal Gear Solid 5 and watching 00, it'll be like a whole day's worth of streaming. You know what? I was just thinking real quick. Didn't Witch for Mercury come out in October?
Did it start in? I don't remember if it started in October or if it started in the summer and then like there was that like mid-season break after the tomato plot.
Okay.
And then it picked up again.
Okay. Yeah, that's what it was. Okay, well, yeah, I guess I don't really have anything else. I guess just, stay tuned, guys, because next week I will have, you know, another video coming out, but also a video that's a review of that Real Grey 2.0. And again, thanks to all the supporters that make this possible. I think, do I have that thing that, no, it's not that.
A little banner action.
Yeah, it's not that. You know, I'm bad at this stuff, but I had a thing.
To keep up with the build streams because I've been enjoying those.
Yes, every Saturday I plan to do a stream. I don't know when because like with family stuff. Yeah, it's more of okay. When do I know I have like a few hours window where I'm just sitting at my computer? Then I'm gonna stream. So
yeah,
if you know what, if I know ahead of time, I will then maybe post in Discord and let people know. So I want to make it where supporters can actually join. And then we can all chat while we're building just because sometimes there's silence when I'm like sitting there like, and
trying to think. Man, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Well, all have a good night. Have a good weekend and we will talk later. See you all.